Welcome to the Dirt Show, brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. And this week we're going to talk street stock racing with driver JJ Newberta. We're also going to hear from executive director of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, Bob Baker, Holly from Foam Craft Packaging, and a little more from our old friend Speed the Sauce Man at Cookies Barbecue Sauces and Seasonings, right after a few words from our sponsors.
Are you ready for some earth-shaking, horsepower-filled stock cars grabbing the soil for every bit of traction they can muster? Then don't miss the Deer Creek Speedway Stock Car National, Saturday night, September 14th. The stock cars will also be joined by the exciting side-by-side racing of the USRA Hobby Stock Division. Gates open at 4, hot laps at 5:30, followed by racing at 6 p.m. Don't miss a minute of the racing action Saturday night, September 14th at Deer Creek Speedway. It's the Stock Car Nationals. See DeerCreekSpeedway.com for more details.
Does good food get your heart racing? How about food that's prepared to perfection with your favorite sauces and seasonings? Friends, it's Speed the Sauce Man, and I'm here to tell you that if you love full throttle flavor, you're going to love our line of premium barbecue sauces and seasonings. Made with high quality ingredients, you can trust our products to punch up the flavor of your favorite meats, main dishes, and so much more. Get winning recipes and join our sauce squad at cookiesbbq.com. And remember, smart cookies use cookies. Napa!
Right now at Napa Auto Parts, you can power up your tool collection with Milwaukee tools and even get more for your money. Buy select Milwaukee tools and get free goods all through our easy e-rebate program. That's right. Grab the tools you need and get bonus gear when you shop at Napa Auto Parts. This offer ends September 30th, so don't miss out. Visit your local Napa store today and take advantage of this limited time offer. Offer ends 9/30/24. Visit MilwaukeeTool.com/e-rebate/Napa for details.
Hi, this is Steve from Poles Electric. Do you have electrical projects in your future? Poles Electric can help. Poles Electric offers industrial, commercial, farm, and residential electrical services in Minnesota and Northern Iowa. We have 24-hour emergency service, design build, automation, underground boring, solar installation, and much more. Poles Electric has a great staff and can assist you with your electrical needs. Look us up at ColesElectric.com or call us at 507-451-1387.
Let me tell you, friends, about our store. It's a great place we call Miners Outdoor.
Miners Outdoor, your total source Husqvarna dealer in Blooming Prairie, has everything your yard needs. From chainsaws, leaf blowers, and weed trimmers to zero-turn mowers and everything in between. That's what being your Husqvarna total source dealer is all about. Stop in today to see the best selection in quality Husqvarna outdoor power equipment. That's Miners Outdoor, Highway 218, Blooming Prairie.
Miners Outdoor, Major Tough.
If you're in need of a worry-free power lift door, then you'll want to stop and talk with Rod French. Make a statement with a power lift architectural door on your home or cabin. Power lift doors can be retrofitted to fit an existing door opening or designed into your next commercial, agricultural, livestock, or aircraft hangar build. Stylish, functional, and built to last. Power lift doors by French's Manufacturing are made locally in Dodge Center, Minnesota by their experienced craftsmen. Contact Kelly or Rod. Power lift doors by French's Manufacturing. 374-9306.
This is Justin Melke from Melke Oil Company, the region's premier BP race fuel dealer, and you're listening to the driver segment on The Dirt Show.
Welcome back here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by street stock driver JJ Newberta. And JJ, thank you. You are the first driver in 17 years that I actually spaced out the interview call time, and you actually were Johnny on the spot, and Facebook messaged me and said, hey, aren't you supposed to call me?
Yeah, we're glad to be able to answer and get talking to you tonight.
JJ, you have done some kart racing over the years. Is that how you got started in racing, or was there something before that?
Growing up, I grew up in Montevideo, so most Friday nights we would go to the track. I had some cousins that raced, and my uncle raced Mod 4s down there. So growing up, I was just a spectator, and then I moved up to Alexandria after college, and then I met up with some guys that raced up here, and I pitted for him. That was Andrew Banks, and he raced street stocks at B-Mods there for a couple of years. Ran pits with him until 2014, and then just kind of was a spectator for a little bit. And then in 2017, we bought our oldest daughter a go-kart, so we started running at the Runestone go-kart track up here. And then we saw that they had an adult class, and we figured, well, it was me and my brother and then his kids. We figured, well, if we're here, we might as well give it a shot too. We ran go-karts from 2017 till 2019 was the last year I ran go-karts, and then bought a street stock from a guy up in Fargo. And then unfortunately that was the COVID year, so didn't get started till the end of July. And then kind of just been working forward from there, trying to update our equipment and motors and doing everything else that way.
Something you mentioned about going to the track as a kid, I can't stress enough for fans and families to get the kids out to the racetracks. And the promoters are doing so many things. Kids night, giving bikes away, doing a candy drop, letting the kids come down on the track and getting a ride on the back of a race car. It's so important because those are the future fans that are going to fill the stands or be behind the wheel of a race car.
Yeah, as a kid, I never imagined. I always wanted to race. We didn't really race, but my dad worked in the farming community, so he knew a lot of the drivers. And I still remember as a kid doing the candy toss, and then after the races going down in the pits and seeing all the cars and running around the track and doing that stuff. And said if it wasn't for that, you never know where you would have ended up.
Newberta. What nationality is Newberta, and do you have trouble at the tracks with people saying, how do I pronounce this?
Yeah, the first year they had some trouble pronouncing it until they had heard it. It's Dutch, originally from Holland. My family origins come from Holland with the last name. I think it was my grandpa's grandpa that came over, so we actually kind of know, and then we actually tracked sister, I believe she's up in Canada, and then we have a small group of us out in Michigan. Other than that, it's pretty uncommon name. Like, I go down to Montevideo, I'm from there, so I actually know the announcer down there, or one of the announcers down there, so he knows how to say it. And then go to Fergus, Ron Krogh announced in Alexandria here for my first couple of years of racing, so he knows how to pronounce it. But yeah, growing up as a kid in high school sports and stuff, you go to different places where they had to pronounce it, and it was normally a struggle for the first until they heard it, then they get it figured out.
The wagon. That is the car that caught my attention, and I've been following you ever since. I grew up watching Mert Williams and Tommy Nesbitt in wagons in the late model division. What is the story behind the wagon?
So when I started racing in 2020, there was one down in southern Minnesota, I think it's Chateau Speedway. I saw his wagon. I think it was Marcus Burnt. He had the wagon down there, and I always wanted to do it. And then my buddy up here bought his car from him. So then he wasn't going to run the wagon top, and I told him I was definitely going to buy it from him if he wasn't going to. So, and then decided to build the body to match and fit the rules. And we weren't sure how it was going to turn out, and we started with it. And once we got the stickers on it and everything, it came out really, really nice. We were happy with how it turned out.
You told me a funny story. Your wife wasn't on board until she seen the completed car.
No, she would come in the shop during the week or whenever I was working on it, and she'd sit there and, I don't know, didn't really like it. And then once it got painted and the graphics went on, then it was like, all right, this thing's pretty sweet.
You are also an outdoors guy. Is there anything better than living in Alexandria, Minnesota, when you enjoy hunting and fishing?
It's a pretty tough area to beat. It's growing in size, so dealing with a lot of people, that's the only downside to it. But other than that, it's great. I mean, I can see two different lakes from where we live at here. We're not on the lake, but we can see them. And in the wintertime, get 20, 30 deer in our backyard. And they're kind of, like I said, there's plenty of activities and things to do. I think I drive 10 minutes to go pheasant hunting, go duck hunting a couple miles from my house, and it makes outdoors pretty easy.
How did you meet your wife? She seems to enjoy the whole Minnesota lifestyle just like yourself, the outdoors, the Vikings, the wild, and the whole racing lifestyle.
Yeah, so her dad is actually Ryan Music. He ran mods around here, so she grew up around racing, being in the pits or being at the track almost every weekend. I met her through Andrew Banks, and I pitted for him for a couple of years. And when he got married, I met her at the wedding. And then it was about a year later, we happened to cross paths and started talking, and then ended up dating and ended up getting married. And now we have kids and continuing on.
Last season, you picked up a heat race win and a feature win on Hall of Fame night at Viking Speedway. What a great night to park it in Victory Lane when they're honoring all those past legends.
Yeah, that was a fun night. And that night, the car was really, really good at the beginning of the year. And on nights, I think the fourth or fifth night, I actually blew up my motor. So we borrowed my brother-in-law races as well. They had a backup open motor for a B-mod, which fit our rules for the limited compression motor. So I was able to run that. And then we started figuring out in July, and the car really came alive. And so I feel like every Hall of Fame night in Alexandria, I seem to run really good that night for some reason. So hopefully that luck continues as we keep going forward.
The following week, you had a tough battle with Ryan Sater and finished second. That track is amazing to watch two talented drivers going at it for the lead and ripping the lip on that huge track. It's just amazing for the fans in the stands.
Yeah, there's nothing quite like Viking Speedway, the big old half mile with the banking there, and the cars can really, really fly around the top. I'm kind of known for being a bottom feeder there, but whenever the car is up top, then it's normally pretty quick too.
Running the bottom really takes talent. It's the shortest distance around the track, but I was just watching a car last weekend running the bottom who was really good at it, and he was back in 10th and worked his way up to 2nd, and they had no idea he was there.
The top lane slicks off an Alec, and there's a little bit of a bite on the bottom. Normally we can really come forward. Last Labor Day weekend, we had trouble, broke apart in the heat, so we had to start dead last. And I was able to drive up to 9th place from 22nd to 9th, just running the bottom and clipping guys that weren't able to hang down there.
I just had Justin Vogel on the Dirt Show a few weeks ago, and I've had many drivers from Viking Speedway over the years. That is a tough place to get a win in the street stock division, because not only do you have the regulars running there every week, but you never know who's going to drop in.
Yeah, you get Braden Brower and Colton Brower showing up weekly. Braden ran there weekly last year, pretty much weekly. Colton's popped in a couple times this year. Vogel, when he's not running the tour race, he shows up. And anytime you can follow those guys and try to pick up what they're doing to be that fast, it normally helps you get faster yourself.
You also enjoy the full throttle thrill of riding snowmobile in the winter. Drivers don't lose their need for speed during the off season.
No, I've grown up on snowmobiles, never racing end of it, but yeah, we've always rode snowmobiles. And yeah, racing's a lot like snowmobiles, just kind of pushing the limits and hanging on for the ride.
I've watched a few videos of sled races at Viking Speedway, and I can't imagine what that would feel like on that sled seat, fully exposed. Have you ever had a chance to rip around there on a sled?
No, when they did those ice racing there, I was there in the stands watching, and I can't believe what it would take to drive that fast into those corners and just on an open, exposed snowmobile like that, knowing any little mistake and you're going for one painful ride, I got to imagine.
The Keith Torvald car. When and how did you get hooked up with Keith? Because he builds a heck of a race car.
Yeah, we switched to that in 2 years. This is our second season, right? Yeah, third season on the car. My brother, there was a guy, again, from Chateau when they quit running with Soda Street Stocks. I can't remember his name right now. He had a bare chassis sitting there because he was switching over to USRA Street Stocks or Stock Cars. I can't remember which one it was. So we went down and picked up the bare frame and put everything together. And dealing with Keith is nice. He's obviously a very good street stock driver. So having him at a phone call to help you get a little quicker is never a bad thing.
What were the differences you noticed when you got that car assembled compared to your other car?
I had a 2004 car that I bought when I first got into it. Chassis-wise, I mean, I don't think there's a huge difference, but I mean, this car really has a lot of drive to it. I don't know if it's the way it flexes. I definitely like the way he builds them as far as building them on a rail, not on the actual frame of the car, but he builds a tubular chassis underneath, so it kind of sits on that. Seems to be a lot more rigid, and the car definitely responds really well.
You took the car to I-94 Speedway one time. Thoughts on I-94, and how did it go?
I really like I-94's track, really racy. It was my first time, I think it was last year I was at I-94. This year I was down in Montevideo. But I-94 itself, I really like their track. The Wissota 100's up there this coming week. Unfortunately, I won't be there. We broke a transmission last weekend. but their track itself really races well. I really like it there. A lot of grip in the track, really racy.
And as you mentioned, you made the tow to Fiesta City this season, but you didn't have much luck. What happened that night?
I had the wrong gears in. I was there 2 years or 3 years ago, went down there, and the gears I ran there didn't have enough gear in it. So then I tried a little bit taller gear this time, and yeah, it was chipping way too early and just couldn't get the drive into the corner that we needed.
I oftentimes hear drivers asking about any advice for gears. If somebody gives you advice about gears on Facebook, do you actually listen or take it with a grain of salt?
It depends on who it is, but I mean, I really haven't seen too many street stock drivers or other drivers that are really going to steer you in the wrong direction. It seems like everyone in our class is willing to help you out they want people to travel and race against other cars. So I really haven't seen where someone gives you the wrong information. You just kind of figure it's plus or minus one set from whatever they tell you, because every car is just a little bit different.
For the tracks that you race, how many sets of gears do you need to have on board?
I mainly run Alexandria. We do it. I can't say as fun because I'm way too competitive to say that, but I have a set for Fergus Falls, Alexandria, Madison, and Montevideo, and Fergus are all pretty much the same gear, which is kind of nice. So I only have like three sets of gears, and then my father-in-law and brother-in-law, they have a couple sets, so we kind of interchange as needed.
You ended the Labor Day doubleheader at Viking Speedway with a DNF on night two. That's a bummer, but did you have a fun weekend just spending time at the track?
Yes, that was where we found the crack in the transmission. Found it in the bell housing right before we went out for the feature. So I was excited because the car had finally started working really well in August and going into September. Every Labor Day and Memorial Day, we camp at the track. So it actually ends up being like five or six of us street stock drivers all camping together. And then normally ends up being some late nights, and it's a lot of fun hanging out with everybody.
Those late fall events, talking about the Fall Jamboree, or the Jerry Richards Memorial, or the Punkin' Races at Mississippi Thunder, or Topless Nationals at Ogilvie. It's kind of that last hurrah of the season. You're going to see those friends, and then it's a long winter in the shop.
I really want to get to the Topless or the Fall Classic over in Ogilvie. Like I said, we broke that transmission here on Labor Day, so I'm not sure what our plan going forward the end of this year. I might rip apart my shop, and I have a heated side and a cold storage side. I might try to get some work done on the shop rather than go put the car back together. But like going to those things would be a ton of fun. So I'm really conflicted on what to do yet.
Viking Speedway season recap, 11 features, 4 top fives, and 3rd in points. That's a very consistent season.
Yeah, we, like I said, we struggled this year a little bit. We tried some different setup stuff and didn't really work. And then we struggled to find it back. And then we found some motor issues, and then in August, the car really came alive. That's when I don't think we finished outside the top five other than when we broke or Labor Day when we had when we had Vogel and Browers and stuff there where you're up against some pretty stiff competition.
Finding that speed at the end of the season has to have you excited for 2025.
Yeah, once we hit August and we realized we weren't in it for track points, we decided to kind of throw some different stuff at it to see what it would do. And like I said, then the car came alive, and I definitely am looking forward to the 2025 season getting here.
Most memorable victory so far in your racing career?
That would definitely be later. My only one in the street stock was last year at the Hall of Fame night. So that's my first one in the street stock. That's definitely a very memorable one, just being the fact just what we went through that year as far as blowing up the motor, being able to get a different setup in and making the car work was a lot of fun. But there's a couple other ones, like when we were racing go-karts, me and my brother, some of the battles me and him had for the wins was a lot of fun too. But the street stock one, yeah, I only have one feature victory.
Memories of that feature night. How'd you do in the heat, and where'd you start in the feature?
In the heat, I think I might have started pole or I might have fourth. I can't remember. If I remember right, I think we had a battle with Russ Carlson from Montevideo area. And I think one of my, I can't remember who the other car was, but I happened to clip him with like one to go, got in front of him with like one or two to go, and then won the heat there. And the feature, I started sixth. And one of our good buddies that we hang out with at the track that we met there, he led about the first six or seven laps. Then we had a caution, and I was in second when the caution came out. And then when the caution came out, it took me like a lap or two. I was running the bottom. He was running up top, and I was able to get by him. And then, yeah, we just never looked back from there. So it was a fun feeling. It was emotions are high because obviously it's your first one, and being able to race with good friends that race you clean is a lot of fun too.
Bucket list track. If you could race there more, where would that track be?
As far as in Wasota country, I got to say Viking Speedway is so far my favorite track to run, just with the speed and the air, the amount of room you have to work to drive around with people. So I definitely like Viking over the three I've ran, but just going to like Eldora and stuff would be a lot of fun.
The kids. Are any of the kids becoming interested in racing or getting behind the wheel of a kart?
So our oldest, she ran karts for 3 years and then kind of didn't really like it. And then I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old right now. And those two spend a lot of time out in the shop with me. And they really love going to the track on Saturday night. And as soon as the weekend hits, is it race day? So that's kind of fun. We're really looking at getting our 5-year-old wing kart to run up here at Runestone Raceway for next year. My brother-in-law and his kids race there right now. So they have a King of Dirt special coming up here. And hopefully if they have a practice or after, we can get her to drive the kart on the track just to see if she'll do it and kind of feel it out. And then if she likes it, I think we'll be purchasing a go-kart for her to run next year.
Runestone Raceway, where is that located? And what do they get for car count and classes for the karts?
So right now we actually were there Friday night. It's located in Alexandria, just to the west of Viking Speedway. It's right off of corner 1 and 2, probably 300 yards to the west. So we actually, when we were racing there with our oldest daughter and then us adults were racing, we actually ran the go-kart track for a couple of years. And it was down to like, they were averaging like 15 to 20 carts. And now I think with the wing carts and everything, I think they're averaging over 40 different carts. So, and I think they have 6 classes, which is like rookie cage. And then I think they have sportsman class, which is an open cart, junior class, which is an open cart, and then an adult class. And then they have the wing carts, which are, I think they have the R-Box class, R-Box Pro, and then the BP wing carts.
Your brother Jeremy is a big help on the car. Do you have others on the pit crew besides the kids?
Yeah, my cousin Ryan, he really helps me out. And then we got another buddy that's one of our sponsors, Alec, from Alec Iron Metals there. He comes over on Wednesday night. We normally work on the car on Wednesday night, so we'll get like 4 or 5 guys here. It's normally myself, my cousin, a couple other buddies, and then the kids will help me during the week or do what they can anyhow.
Plans for 2025? Are you going to run for track points at Viking Speedway or try some of the other tracks out?
We're definitely going to make a run for track points at Viking. That's been one goal of ours for the last couple of years. Been trying to get better and better in points and then trying to be really consistent and be in the top 5. That's how you get that done. So definitely track championship this year for Viking is number 1 on our list, and hopefully we're able to pull that off or at least have a little better luck than we did this year.
Who helps you out as far as sponsorship on a car?
We got multiple different people around town here that help us out, a lot of good friends and family, some other friends of family. Listing them as far as what I can see here, we got Alec Iron and Metals. They're located between Alexandria and Garfield. Lennis Brothers Electric, Worldwide Hydraulics out of Evansville, Simonson Lumber in Alexandria here, TFC Poultry out of Melby, the Garfield Pub and Garfield there. They have the Locals Bar and the Garfield Pub. War Camp Builds and Designs out of Montevideo, Central Equipment Sales out of Stock Center, Brophy Bay Gas Mart. That's where we stop and grab all our drinks and snacks and gas for going to the track. Pomp's Tire in Alexandria here. They help us out with our car or trailer, getting tires or different parts or whatever we need there. Dolman Auto Body out of Evansville, he always helps us out getting the car painted and ready for the year as far as the body and whatnot, or kind of helps us out wherever we can. And then Banks and Construction out of Starbuck, Minnesota. That's Andrew Banks and the guy I helped growing up. He retired, and then his dad is now a sponsor on our car, so it's kind of a cool change. And then we have one of our buddies. They have a golf apparel company, but it's not legal to say on the radio, so I can't say it.
To pick up a win in front of your home crowd at your home track last season was awesome. To get a track championship in front of your home crowd, what would that mean to you?
It'd mean everything. Like I said, I really enjoy talking to the fans when they come down in the pits. Kids are always welcome to sit in the car and try to see what it's like. They seem to really glow when you ask them if they want to sit in it, or some nights I'll have kids help load the car into the trailer. It would just be awesome to get a track championship at Viking. It's obviously a really tough track to do that as there's a bunch of really good drivers that race there weekly. So it's always pretty tough competition, and it would be an honor just to have my name on that list of track champions. So definitely a big goal of ours.
JJ, good luck in 2025, and I hope to see you out yet this fall at one of the specials, and thank you for taking the time to be with us here on the Dirt Show today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the call and talking.
Wolf & Sons Yard Service has heavy equipment. This is Scott Wolf. Whether you need a basement dug, a building removed, footings for a remodel, an RV, camper, or boat pad, rock, sand, or dirt hauled, call 455-3524.
Since 1997, Weir's Machine has been innovating the finest products in the racing industry. We also manufacture the Ultra Force load machines and develop the Ultra Force suspension software, which allows you to take your program to the next level. Be sure to check out the all-new Circle Track app, your ultimate go-to spot for race team information. Keep track of your maintenance schedule, parts list, car setups, and more. Proudly made in the USA, champions across the country choose Weir's Machine, Ultra Force, and the Circle Track app to take them to victory lane. Shop now at Weir'sMachine.com, UltraForceTech.com, and the all-new CircleTrackApp.com. Follow us on all of our social media platforms at Weir's Machine.
In a world where precision and strength unite, Rhino Ag leads the pack in land management excellence. For nearly a century, Rhino Ag has been a leader of innovation, empowering farmers and land managers to conquer new frontiers. With state-of-the-art implements crafted to work as hard as you do, Rhino Ag helps you execute land development efficiently and allows you to get back to the things you love. Rhino Ag, born to lead.
At Arrow Race Wheels, they put their customers first and appreciate the loyalty the racers have for the company. Arrow Race Wheels is willing to work with anyone who has a question or problem. The only way to stay on top is to listen to the people putting us there. If you want to run with the winners, see AeroRacingWheels.com or call 888-895-2376 today.
Do you know what many top race car teams use for small radiator leaks? It's Justice Brothers Radiator Stop Leak, effective insurance that keeps them in the middle of competition, proven under the toughest racing conditions, and it works the same way in your car. Justice Brothers Radiator Stop Leak stops leaks in radiators and blocks, sealing the leak while you drive, and it won't clog the cooling system. It mixes with all antifreeze and coolants. Take the advice of top race teams. Use Justice Brothers Radiator Stop Leak.
See our display at Runnings.
Welcome back to our sponsor segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Bob Baker, Executive Director of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. And Bob, a huge event coming up on a racetrack there at Knoxville Raceway, September 19th through the 21st, the Lucas Oil Late Model Knoxville Nationals, and it's going to be another big weekend in Knoxville.
It is, Clayton, and thank you for having us on the Dirt Show again today. We're very excited. It's hard to believe that this will be the 20th Lucas Oil Late Model Knoxville Nationals here. 3 days of late model racing at Knoxville Raceway. It's just hard to believe it was 20 years ago when it started. I vaguely remember the first year of the event. It was freezing cold, and it was held, I believe, in October maybe. And everybody was saying, oh, my gosh, we got to move this race up earlier in the season. It's just too cold. And we sold out of coats and sweatshirts and sweaters and everything that we had in the museum to keep people warm. And it was just a freezing cold weekend, but they got the races in. And I know Ricky Thornton Jr. is planning on being back with us. Last year's winner is going to be here again this year. And we're just looking forward to a great 3 days in Knoxville, late model dirt, late model racing.
And Bob, I know you and your staff really do an incredible job at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum when it's race weekend. You have second floor seating if people want to come up there and watch indoors if it would be cold. And also, you have events going on inside the museum during the day for fans to enjoy.
Yes, we do. We're real excited this year because we have our track tribute to Eldora Speedway on display inside the museum, and it features 10 of the race cars that have raced in the past at Eldora Speedway, but one of them is Donnie Moran's dirt late model that's on display, the dirt late model that won $1 million years ago. And so we're very happy to have that here, and we hope that that will entice the dirt late model fans to come into the museum, take a look at Donnie Moran's million-dollar winning race car and all the race cars that raced at Eldora Speedway, Recoy, Bruise, Midget, you know, the plywood wings on the sprint cars when they first started to have wings on them. Some of them were plywood. We got one of those in there. We've just got a variety of sprint cars, midgets, the dirt late model on display for people to come in and enjoy. But back to what you were saying about our events, yes, we usually have a driver come in on Friday afternoon, and talk with race fans. And we're still working on settling a driver, getting a driver dialed in to talk with everybody. So we'll announce that here probably next week sometime.
I know also for finale night on Saturday night, September 21st, you have the SLMR series, Joe Kosiski's late model series, joining the Lucas Oil late models, and they're a great group of drivers to watch.
They are. They put on a great show, and Joe limits it to, I think, his top 30 in points car, so it's a very, very tight schedule with the dirt late models here, but those cars put on a tremendous show and always have great finishes. And something that we're almost forgetting to talk about is our big auction that we have at 11:30 here on Saturday morning. It's our Knoxville Nationals dirt late model auction. And Lynn Richard, former driver and no stranger to the dirt late model fans, is our auctioneer. And him and his crew come in every year and put on a great auction for us up on our second floor. And we have lots of one-of-a-kind items this year that if you're a dirt late model fan, you're a Scott Blomquist fan, you're a Billy Moyer fan or a Ricky Thornton Jr. fan, any of the dirt late model guys, you're definitely going to want to be here Saturday at 11:30 for that live auction.
We are coming down Friday night, and we're going to stay at the Amsterdam in Pella, and then we're coming over to Knoxville on Saturday, and we're going to stay at the Cobblestone and head home on Sunday and just enjoy all there is to do in your area, because there is a lot of fun stuff to do down there. There's a lot of great restaurants and a lot of things to see in the Knoxville area.
There really is. You know, there's lots of places to eat, both here and in Pella up the road where you're staying at the Amsterdam, and lots of fun little shops to go in up there in Pella. I know that the drivers have an autograph session under the grandstand sometime on Saturday afternoon before the races start, and that's always the fun thing for the fans to do after our auction. So it's a fun time to be in Marion County, be around Knoxville Raceway and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum.
And it's also a perfect time to pick up some stuff in the gift shop for the off-season, whether you want to read some books or you want to pick up some early Christmas presents for the race fan on your list, this is perfect timing.
You're exactly right. Our museum store is really well stocked after the Knoxville Nationals were over, which ended about 3 weeks ago. Our stocks are pretty well and shelves are pretty well depleted, but right now they're all back full again for the Christmas holidays. And so if you're looking for a racing item for maybe your brother, boyfriend, husband, grandpa, you might come in. We've got lots of new books on the shelves, and books are our number one sellers, believe it or not. They outsell the apparel and the jewelry and everything else. So books are a big item for shoppers here for the holidays especially. So come on in. We'll be open every morning from 8 o'clock in the morning until the races are over on all 3 days, on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. There's no cost to come in and just go through the store if you want to do that. There is a charge to go through the museum, but it's very minimal charge, and we're hoping all the late model fans will come in and have a good time here in the museum while they're with us.
Bob, progress on the new suite tower.
Yes, the Dennis Albaugh Suite Tower. I was just out there about 10 minutes ago, and the iron workers are up welding the floor pans into place on the three upper levels where the suites will be. And at the same time, the bricklayers are working on mixing some mortar to start work on laying the bricks for our elevator tower that will go up to the fifth floor. So the new suite tower will be completed in time for opening night next year in April. We'll have 12 new suites, which fortunately we've got all the 12 suites leased out already. We'll have a new second floor viewing area for race fans that like to sit inside and watch the races. And then also we'll have a storage area for our inventory for our museum store, which we were just talking about on the first floor, which will be nice to have all of our inventory in one location. Right now it's spread out in about three or four locations in our building because we just don't have a lot of room. But we're looking forward to having that inventory in a space where we can control it just a little bit better and keep an eye on the numbers.
Bob, if they'd like to become a supporting member of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, or would like to find out more information about the gift shop or anything else going on at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, what's the best way to do that?
The best way is just to call our museum at 641-842-6176, and you can become a supporting member for only $35, which allows you and a friend free admission for 1 year, a 10% discount on everything inside the store. Also, a semi-monthly newsletter, or Hallmark's newsletter, that goes out to keep everybody up to speed on what's going on in and around the museum in Knoxville. So $35 really is not a lot of money, but it does help support our museum and help us keep the operation going. You know, the insurance paid, the lights on, all the things that we take for granted here every day couldn't be possible without our supporting members. So we'd like to thank all those people who are supporting members, and if you're not, we'd like to welcome you to join either when you visit us or just call the number 641-842-6176.
Bob, thanks for all you do, and can't wait to see you on September 20th and 21st in Knoxville.
Clayne, thank you so much for having us on the Dirt Show, and we look forward to having you here for the Knoxville Dirt Late Model Nationals, September 19th, 20th, and 21st in just a few days.
If you have a vehicle accident, go with a professional. Bob and his staff at Midwest Collision are the definition of professionals. For over 43 years, they have dedicated their lives to collision repair along with the training, knowledge, and skills that come with the job. Go with the pros. Midwest Collision in Faribault, 507-332-2434. You bend them, we mend them.
Midwest Collision.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is the only museum in the world that's solely dedicated to sprint car racing. Located in Knoxville, Iowa, next to the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open year-round for race fans to come in and learn more about sprint car racing. You'll see 30 to 35 race cars on display that are constantly changing throughout the year. In addition, you'll find memorabilia, historic race shops, and racing videos inside the museum next to the sprint cars. There's a racing movie theater on the museum's second floor, all of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame inductees' plaques and stories on display, a panoramic view of Knoxville Raceway, and the world's largest sprint car retail store, all at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa.
Fast Shafts is the premier manufacturer of performance drive shafts for race teams around the country. They're the title sponsor of the Fast Shafts All-Star Invitational at the IMCA Super Nationals and also support a number of competitive series nationwide. When you need a drive shaft, rear end parts, or yokes, purchase race-proven products from Fast Shafts. Building drive shafts for 90% of the major chassis builders. Buy direct from a Fast Shaft dealer nationwide or call 800-622-6617 or online at fastshafts.com.
Racers Cole and Kyron Anderson want to provide outstanding products for their customers at Anderson Enterprises. With their new 8-color screen printer, your t-shirts, sweatshirts, tank tops, and vests will stand out from the rest. Anderson Enterprises also provides embroidery on sweatshirts, jackets, beanies, baseball caps, blankets, and more. Besides apparel, they do racing wraps, signage, window decals, commercial wraps, banners, floor decals, and magnets. Contact Anderson Enterprises in La Center today at 507-351-9244 or AndersonEnterprises.net. Set yourself apart from the rest.
We can all think back to the first time we experienced real horsepower. Hi, this is Corey at Byers Engine Service. Whether it's that pin-you-in-the-seat feeling of a big block Chevy, the roar of a healthy 340, or the joy of a perfectly tuned flathead, here at Byers Engine Service, we service them all. Strip to street, dirt track to asphalt, or just cruising the strip. Stop by and check us out at 2915 20th Street Southeast in Rochester, or call 507-282-5586.
Why choose powder coating over liquid paint finishes? Maximum durability. Extreme Powder Coating offers a scientific process that uses electricity and heat to bake the colorful finish deep into your product. Extreme can deliver media blasting, impact-resistant epoxy primers, and durable powder coat applications to meet your needs. Custom colors and exhaust coatings are available also. Visit ExtremePowderCoating.net for more information.
Welcome back to the sponsor segment here on the Dirt Show, and I am joined by Holly at Foamcraft Packaging. And Holly, packaging the impossible
inside the possible. Holly, that is really what foam craft packaging is all about. Coming up with cost-effective packaging solutions for your customers.
Absolutely. We are always looking for new and different ways to make packaging work for our customer. And that's what our main thing is, to take care of the customer.
Foam craft can also come up with packaging for something the size of a penny, all the way up to something the size of an ATV.
That is correct. We actually built a crate to send an ATV over shores, so we got that all packaged up, and we do really small foam inserts for little electronic components.
And speaking about sending something overseas, that opens up a whole other can of worms with sending wood and different products. It all has to be pest controlled and everything.
Yep. So all of our wood comes into us heat treated, and we also stamp it here. We're a NELMA certified company, so everything that we do is heat treated and NELMA stamped.
Foam craft packaging also works closely with each customer to maximize their business's profitability. Designing a package that does the job without costing too much, it's really a fine line you walk.
It absolutely is, and that's why we have three designers in-house that partner closely with our customers to make sure they're getting exactly what they're looking for at a low cost.
And that's what really makes working with foam craft packaging a huge benefit to a client, because when they call in here, everything is done in-house. You're talking to somebody on the phone that understands packaging. You have designers here that'll design it. You can go out and produce it and come back and hand them a sample.
Absolutely. We do samples on a daily basis. We send it into design. We get a sample out to you. You can test it and make sure it works for you. If it doesn't, we can make quick minor adjustments so that it will work for you.
The other thing that you can do here is design a package that will absolutely protect an item during shipping from the possibility of damage. Obviously, that will cost more if you're doing sensitive electronics or some type of expensive artifact, but the possibility is there.
It absolutely is. A lot of our foam inserts, foam end caps, is to protect the electronics in packaging to make sure that they're not damaged and that they're arriving exactly how you had sent them out.
What does a typical foam craft packaging customer look like? What types of businesses and industries do you work with on a daily basis that would benefit from being a foam craft packaging client?
We work with a lot in the medical fields, the electronic fields, other packaging companies that are using us to do more specialized stuff that they're not equipped for. We have a wide range of customers all over the U.S.
If a company has an in-house packaging department, how can you benefit those customers? What can you do to help make their life easier in the in-house packaging department?
Well, for instance, if they're using foam, we work with a wide variety of different types of foam, and we have a lot of knowledge when it comes to that, where another packaging company might be more into like a corrugated company, and they might not know as much about foam as we do.
If a company doesn't have an in-house packaging department, foam craft can become that department for that company.
Absolutely, and that's where our three designers come into play again, because they know exactly what would work best for packaging different like electronic components or end cap component. They know what types of foam to be using.
Really what you're saying is it's just years of knowledge compiled into all of the employees here that you've learned to design stuff that fits those customers' needs.
Yes, we have quite a range of employees that have been with us for a long time and know what we do and the stuff that we do really well with the wood and the foam and kind of what to use and what hasn't worked for us in the past and what works really well now.
To really see all of foam craft packaging's capabilities, You have a really nice website that you can look through and see samples of what you do and cover all of the different products that you offer.
Yep, and you can come see that website at www.foamcraftpackaging.com.
How can they learn more? Or if they'd like a tour of the facility to see some of the packages you make here, is that also a possibility?
Absolutely. We're doing tours all the time. We have a couple new machines that are really neat to watch and process. You can always get a hold of me or Bob or Donna or even one of our sales guys, Greg or Brian, would be more than happy to have you come out and take a tour and show you exactly what it is that we can do for you.
Holly, thanks for your time. Thanks for being on the Dirt Show and have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Shevland Enterprises, your locally owned and operated sanitation and recycling service, offers the highest quality garbage removal, trash pickup services, and roll-off dumpsters at great rates. Commercial, residential, construction, and industrial trash removal and recycling in Owatonna and the surrounding areas in Dodge and Steele counties. Contact Shevland Enterprises today, and new customers will get 6 months for the price of four. If you prepay, call 528-9900. That's 528-9900.
Partnering with hog and cattle producers throughout the United States, Altenburg Construction has 30 years of experience in the slat replacement business. Altenburg Construction also uses a custom wash bay to ensure biosecurity to protect your herd. Whether you need an entire site or a single slat, stop into one of their two locations in Louisville, Minnesota or Zering, Iowa. Call 888-435-2210 or see Altenburg Construction.com.
Bulldog Coatings. Let Bulldog protect and restore your floors. Transform your old garage floor with a local family owned Bulldog Pros. Beautiful coatings, longevity, trust the experts. We make it so easy. Affordable solutions. You can't go wrong. See Bulldog Coatings MN.com. Bulldog Coatings. Let Bulldog protect and restore your floor.
Back in 1972, when Apollo 17 was landing on the moon, we were trying to clean up our planet. Hi, this is Jim Miskin from Miskin Auto Parts. Over the past 52 years, we've been recycling tons of steel, aluminum, tires, and batteries, plus salvaged thousands of quality motors, transmissions, and parts for reuse. If you have just one vehicle to recycle, or a whole field full, contact Miskin Auto Parts at 507-684-2100 or check us out at Miskin.com. Recycle we must, and in God we trust.
Welcome back to our special segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Speed the Sauce Man from Cookies, Barbecue Sauces, and Seasonings. And Speed, we often talk about preparing different kinds of meats on the grill, but the side dish is also very important with the meal. Whether it's sweet corn with melted butter and Cookies flavor enhancer, or it's your great calico bean recipe.
Well, I tell you what, Clayne, you're right there. And, you know, the nice thing about the calico bean recipe, you know, there's probably as many variations of the calico bean recipe out there as years I'm old, you know. So, you know, there's a lot of them out there. You talk about a side dish, I've already made them, and I just kind of quit and let that be my meal. The one that I like real well, and it's on page 82 of the Cookies Cookbook, which is available. Just go to cookiebbq.com, and you can buy it right online there. And got a lot of good recipes in it, but here it is. Take a half a pound of ground beef, 1 cup of finely chopped onion, and you can use yellow or white, either one in it. And then a half a pound of bacon. I like to use peppered bacon in this dish, but you know, you can use whatever bacon you prefer. And then a can of kidney beans rinsed and drained. 1 can of pork and beans. I like to use bushes. And then I use a tablespoon of yellow mustard. And then also a can of butter beans. And those are rinsed and drained. The only one I don't rinse and drain is the pork and beans. Last but most important is 2 cups of cookies. And I use the sweet hickory barbecue sauce. A lot of people use the original. And then some people use our sweet and spicy that's got a little bit of molasses and jalapeno pepper powder in it. But what you do is just brown the ground beef down and throw the onion in with it and cook that up, drain the fat off of it, and set it aside. And then brown the bacon up until I like to get it so I can just crumble it a little bit. and then drain that fat off, and then mix the ground beef, mixture of the bacon, and the remaining ingredients in a large casserole dish, and bake it in a 350-degree oven for an hour. Or you can also put it in double those foil throwaway pans, the half size and the double M, and cover them and just set them on your grill, and you can heat them up there just as well. Like I say, some people don't care for the kidney beans, then just add an extra can of pork and beans or butter beans, kind of whatever you like best. But it's a very forgiving recipe, and I'll tell you what, it reheats well. I mean, I like to make a big batch of it, and to be honest with you, I like it after it's been reheated once or twice. The beans seem to get a little bit thicker, and I don't know, it just makes for a great dish, Clean. So again, you know, go to cookiebbq.com for these and other great recipes, and you can also order our cookbook off of there too for $15. Certainly appreciate all the support from all the listeners out there through the years. And Clay, thanks again for the great tour you give Janet and I when we were up in Owatonna, and enjoyed being on the air with your people too at the station. It was a fun time.
BP Racing Fuels is proud to be recognized as a world leader in race fuel technology. BP's fuels have a well-deserved reputation for power and consistency, winning championships in every form of motorsports for more than 40 years. Whether sportsman or pro, methanol or gasoline, BP has a fuel to ensure optimum performance for your application. See the full line of BP's high-performance products online at vpracingfuels.com. At VP Racing Fuels, our passion is your performance.
When you need a trailer, you want selection, service, and someone who will be there after the sale. Zach's Sales and Service in Sherburn is this region's leader in quality trailers. From H&H, Aluma, Mission, and Easy Hauler. Whether you need a utility, enclosed, dump, flatbed, or tilt trailer, Zach's Sales and Service has over 300 trailers on the ground and ready for delivery today. Contact Zach's Sales and Service today at 507-764-2299. Or see Zach'sTrailerSales.com, where service is right in their name.
Get more muscle for your money with Dixie Chopper Lawnmowers. We've been handcrafting the toughest and fastest zero-turn mowers for over 40 years. Dixie Chopper offers a full line of residential, commercial, and industrial mowers to meet every customer's needs. Visit your local Dixie Chopper dealer today or visit online at DixieChopper.com.
Welcome to the Dirt Track segment, brought to you by Cookies, Sauces, and Seasonings.
Mississippi Thunder Speedway in Fountain City, Wisconsin hosted their three-day North Star Nationals starting on Thursday, September 5th, in a Hobby Stock A-Main, Joshua Ludeking, in a USRA B-Mod A-Main, Harley Dice, in the Modifieds, it was Joe Chisholm, and in the Stock Cars, Braden Gear. The North Star Nationals at Mississippi Thunder continued on Friday night, September 6th, in a Hobby Stock A-Main, Steve Dwyer, in the USRA B-Mods, Dustin Cruz, in the Modifieds, Lucas Schott, in the USRA Late Models, Brad Waits, in the Stock Cars, Jim Chisholm, and in the Eco Mods, Mason Stockhausen. Finale night for the North Star Nationals at Mississippi Thunder Speedway was Saturday night, September 7th, in the USRA Hobby Stock A Main, Luke Schulader, in the USRA B Mods, Harley Dice, in the Modifieds, Keith Foss, in the USRA Late Models, Brad Waits, in the Stock Cars, Derek Green, and in the Eco Mods, Mason Stockhausen. It was fair race time at Madison Speedway in Madison, Minnesota, in the Pier Stock A Main, Colton Schuler, in the Street Stocks, Colton Brower, in the Midwest Modifieds, Scott Tofty, in the Super Stocks, Braden Headkey, in the Modifieds, Mike Stearns, and in the Gen X Late Models, Brad Staples. We were at Cedar Lake Speedway for the Jerry Richards Memorial on Saturday night, September 7th, in a traditional non-wing sprint car 20-lap A-Main, Cam Schaefer, in the 360-wing sprint car 25-lap A-Main, Josh Schneiderman, and in a 410-wing sprint car 30-lap A-Main, Danny Sams III.
It's time to fuel your tools with True Fuel, the only pre-mixed fuel engineered for peak performance. No mixing, no mess, just open, pour, and go. True Fuel is ethanol-free, which means your engine runs smoother, lasts longer, and starts up easier every time. Whether it's your lawnmower, chainsaw, or trimmer, True Fuel is the choice of pros who demand the best, and it's on sale now starting at just $7.49 at Napa Auto Parts. Visit NapaOnline.com to find a Napa store near you. Offer ends 9/30/24. See store for details. Deer Creek Speedway is going topless. No, not that kind of topless. Friday night, September 20th, and Saturday night, September 21st, join the Bonfire Bash. The race cars will be removing their tops for the first time ever at Deer Creek Speedway. It's a unique way to watch a race and see the drivers at work inside the cars. Let's go topless at Deer Creek Speedway, September 20th and 21st. See DeerCreekSpeedway.com for details.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.